Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Still known as Bradfo, with the radio version of his daily Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Baseball isn't boring.
Baseball's not boring to me.
Baseball is not boring.
It's not boring on a podcast, and it's damn sure not boring on the radio. And either way, it's streaming on the Odyssey app. It's Radio B.I.B. Baseball Isn't Boring is presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com.
All right, everybody. Everybody, let's do some baseball. Yay, baseball. Baseball Isn't Boring program live from Fenway Park at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. And I am so honored to have gone through the last couple months, going through spring training, going through the road trip in Texas, going through the road trip in Baltimore, and landing here at Fenway Park with people out here on Lansdowne Street with their umbrellas, feeling good about the great game of baseball after yesterday, and we're going to get to that in a second. But I want everybody to join 617-779-7937. Zach, give me a McFarland, please.
McFarland!
Oh, you're getting there, my friend. You're getting there. I mean, I feel like it's a long season. You've already come a long way. Do you feel good about that? Do you feel good about the progress you made in your McFarland rant? Yes?
I do, yes.
All right, good. I want you to feel good about yourself. All right, producer Zach, obviously guiding us all the way up until the pregame show. That's when Joe Weil will take over. And so if you are driving in to Fenway Park to watch the game of baseball with the Boston Red Sox taking on the St. Louis Cardinals, I think that you're going to get the big payoff. The big payoff being a baseball game. Yeah, all signs are pointing to that they're actually going to play this game. Alex Cora just came from his manager's briefing with the media, and he said he's been told, yes, he expects to play the game. And everyone, when they woke up this morning, I know it was clear out in a lot of places, but everyone said, oh, you know what, foregone conclusion, they're not going to play. Nope, it looks like they're going to play. So we're going to have the game today, Sunday Night Baseball tomorrow, boom, 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 keep the ball rolling. And I think that most people really want to play today. I mean, I think that most people in New England, most people in that Red Sox clubhouse want to play. They're feeling good about themselves. They're feeling like they have hit their stride finally after the sad trombone of the first five games. Yep, they feel good about themselves. And how can you not? I wrote about this today on WEI.com, how, you know, you have the past, you have the future, but really yesterday was a day just to soak in everything that was really good about a Fenway home opener. We talked about it. Who doesn't love a good flyover? Who doesn't love the Fenway crowd? And I feel, and I don't have scientific proof for this, but I do feel that the vibe yesterday, yes, we are talking vibes, the vibe yesterday at Fenway was a notch up from what we have seen in other Fenway home openers in years past. And I think that's a microcosm, even at, when they were coming in 3-4, that's a microcosm of how the public feels about this team. Now that you actually have Rafael Devers hitting the ball forward, now you have these other guys in the middle of the lineup actually hitting the ball, now you have the image of Garrett Crochet, now you have the images of Christian Campbell doing his thing, and across the board, it was supposed to be good in offense, a good offense, and sure enough, the last two games, that's exactly what it is. That exactly is how it has been. So I think people have figured out, yeah, it's okay to invest our time, to invest our intention, to attention, to invest all the things that we have failed to invest in. Let's be honest. Yeah, last year was nice. Guess what? You're going to see it. You're going to be reminded of what happened last year in the Netflix documentary, which comes out in a few days on April 8th. But last year was nice. And it was like, oh, yeah, you started off good. But still there was that, is this for real? Is this for real? And then you got to the All-Star game, the All-Star break, and, you know, it took a turn for the worse. I think that sustainability is a very real thing with this team. And I hate that word. I can't believe I just said sustainability. I hate it. I hate it because that's what we've been saying. I'm going to use another one. This is the North Star. The North Star is our sustainability. Oh my God, I want to vomit every time those things were put together. But that's the reality of this, right? The Red Sox, in the place that they've landed this week, the place that they had landed this week is what you had been promised all these years for the last 3-4 years. Let's be honest. Ever since Mookie Betts was traded, this is what you were promised ever since then. Was this not only a team that you think can compete, not only a team that you think is going to be competitive, not only a team that actually some people might pick at the top of the division, not only that, but a team where you say you have stars and you have the foundation and you have these guys locked up. No, these contract extensions, which we are talking about this week, this is what you were looking for. You were looking for a guy, Alex Bregman, actually being introduced at Fenway Park in a Boston Red Sox uniform. You were looking forward to Rafael Devers accepting the DH role and hitting the crap out of the ball. You were looking for Tristan Casas getting his stuff right and going forward and getting hits. You were looking for all of this. You're looking for Jarren Duran being the dynamic player that we saw last year. But with these other guys behind him, you were looking for all this. So, you were looking for this for all these years, ever since Mookie was traded. And on top of it, now, what you were waiting for not only the images of this, the promise of this, but you were waiting for this is how it's going to be going forward. You were waiting for, let's be honest, what you were waiting for is John Henry feel comfortable enough to go to that press conferences yesterday and today, yesterday Crochet, today Christian Campbell, John Henry feeling comfortable enough to say, yep, everybody, I'm out in public again. I was the one in the Instagram photo smoking the cigar. Yep, I was that guy. And you know why I'm feeling comfortable enough to sit in the first row of these press conferences? Because I have finally pushed away the narrative, which he was doing. He was propagating himself. The Financial Times last year, 20-1 shot, 30-1 shot. Remember that. We cannot forget how it was and what made everybody so mad in terms of why you aren't acting like the part of the big boys club in Major League Baseball. Well, now, I'll say it again. This week, you have officially landed in the big boys club. You have Garrett Crochet, you traded for him, and now you signed him. He is the guy. He is the ace. He is the guy that's going to protect the bullpen the day before, the day of, and the day after. He is the guy that's going to be your stopper, as we saw the other day. And then you figure it out from there. You have Bregman. You have Christian Campbell, one of the – remember, at this time last year, we certainly weren't saying the big three, that he was part of any big three. He was part of like a big 30. Christian Campbell was. But sure enough, he eclipses all these other guys. He leapfrogs them, and he has landed in this place, which is polar opposite from what we thought at the beginning of spring training. I was there. I mean, the first few weeks for Christian Campbell in spring training was not good. You were like, oh, he's going to need some time. He's going to need some time. He needs some time. And I got to be honest, even when they came out of an off day, midway through spring training, and then they started running out Christian Campbell a second, it became obvious that he was going to be their guy. Even then, I'm like, all right, that's fine. That's all right. That's good. But, you know, you're going to be picked apart when the season starts. That's just how it is. Dustin Pedroia, 2007. That's just how it is. No! All of a sudden, you land in this place where you have all the aforementioned things that I just referenced. Crochet and Bregman and Devers and all these guys locked up. Duran. And now you have the other part of the promise, which is we didn't trade these guys. You guys got to have to believe that these guys are good. You're going to have to believe that these guys are going to be the future. But that only works. That only works if you have the other big ticket items, the pieces, the big foundation pieces like the Crochets, like the Bregmans, like the Devers, like the Durans, like the Casases, like the, let's be honest, Willie Abreu. Like, you only have that. It only works. You can only say this. You just rely on these young guys if you have those other pieces. Again, I'm going to reference Pedroia. Pedroia, going back to 2007, he won the Rookie of the Year. 2007, he wins Rookie of the Year. But why? He started out hitting ninth. We know the story. He was terrible that first month, and then he catches fire. But he was able to do that because you had these other pieces. Now, I think they're relying on Christian Campbell a whole lot more than they are Pedroia out of the gate. And let's be honest, Christian Campbell has produced a whole lot more than Pedroia did out of the gate 2007. I'll say, mea culpa. Mea culpa. Like I said, I thought that he was going to be picked apart. He isn't being picked apart. He is legitimately one of the most reliable best hitters in baseball. Go listen to the pitchers pitch against him. Charlie Morton the other day, after the game, he was talking about Christian Campbell. He's like, I thought I had him. You know, I saw the reaction he had to this breaking ball and then this breaking ball. And it wasn't the rookie reaction. They see it. The Red Sox saw it. The opponents are seeing it. Obviously, everyone in the stands are seeing it with this kid. This kid is a legitimate. Now, like, you could take a turn for the worse, but this kid is a legitimate Rookie of the Year candidate. And if you have one of those guys, along with the guys that you brought up from last year, along with the guys that you have invested in, I'm ranting and raving about this, and I want everyone to chime on in how you feel about the Red Sox. 617-779-7937. Yes, we'll be with you until the pregame show with Joe Wild, the great Joe Wild. But I'll say it again. This week is where you have to take a step back and understand, yes, they upheld their promise. It took too long, let's be honest. It took too long, it did. I'm not, you know, it's fine. It took too long because we were saying, why didn't you invest last year? But they fulfilled their promise. They fulfilled your promise of, I'll say it again, that awful word, sustainability. They did get uncomfortable. They were decisive. They did get these extensions done. All of this, you have to give them credit right now. I know that, you know, this isn't about me saying, oh my goodness, they won. They won the last couple games. They scored a bunch of runs. All is well. The vibes are great and everything else. No, that's not what I'm talking about. They could lose the next three games. I don't know. All I'm saying is that this is what you asked for. This is what I asked for. This is what we were wondering why it wasn't coming. This is what they sort of were keep saying. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. But, you know, benefit of the doubt was lost. Let's be honest. Benefit of the doubt was lost. Now, in large part because you did get extensions done. And I'm not talking about Sedan, Rafael, and Brian Bale. I'm talking about, you know, Garrett Crochet extension. That was legit uncomfortable stuff. That was, you have to take a deep breath and pay a lot of money for a guy that we think is going to be good, but we're not sure. He's only has a year under his belt. So, yeah, that is a guy who is you got uncomfortable. Christian Campbell, you identified that guy. Hey, Christian, you want to sign an extension? Everybody has different mindsets. Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony might have completely different mindsets. Tristan Casas has a different mindset. All these guys have different mindsets. As I've said a million times, when Mookie Betts said the toughest deal to turn down was that first deal. But once you turn that down, then it becomes less and less tough because you'll get closer and closer to free agency. You've established yourself. The price goes up and everything else. Christian Campbell decided to take that life-changing money. I never begrudge any player for doing that. Do I think the Red Sox probably get the better of this deal? Yeah, I do. But I never begrudge a guy like Christian Campbell for taking a deal like that. That said, if he doesn't take it, like Mookie didn't take it, like Tristan Casas didn't take it, like other guys haven't taken it, Tanner Houck hasn't taken it, then you go and you go and you go and it gets more uncomfortable potentially for the team. That's just how it works. That's why I said, and it's a quick aside, when you're going in to talk to a player about a contract extension and you say, this is how I value you as your the first go-round, even if you are 5 days into your major league career, always overpay a little bit. It'll be worth it. And maybe that's what they did with Campbell. Maybe they valued him exactly the same as Zdeno Rafael at 8 years at $50 million. And they said, you know what? We'll give you $10 million more. That's okay. Maybe they did. But how teams can't do that? Because if you are convinced that that player is legit, that player is a guy who you want to invest in the future, then it's only going to get more comfortable if he turns it down that first go-round. It just is. All right, again, 617-779-7937. I see all these fine folks out here wearing their rain gear. But I am telling you, I am passing on the word to everybody, everybody who is looking forward to watching the great game of baseball at Fenway Park. The manager of the Red Sox believes that they are going to play this game today. Oh, man. It is nasty weather, no doubt about it. And I always said, I told Lucas Giolito this when we were doing a podcast about a week or so ago when my phone was overheating because it was so hot and sunny. Remember this. Don't complain about the phone overheating. Spring training weather is the best because right around the corner is this weather. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I love the fact. I loved yesterday. You know, whatever. They can win, lose, whatever it is. But I loved yesterday because it was – the atmosphere and everything about it was just so great. It was so great. I went through the Texas home opener. I went through the Baltimore home opener. And I can tell you, everybody, boots on the ground. Baseball isn't boring, boots on the ground in three different cities. Fenway Park was next level up. Better flyover, too. Not even close. All right, I want to remind everybody that Baseball Isn't Boring show is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 48 years and the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. I'm hoping that the Play Tessie guys come down here. I know they're interviewing Christian Campbell in the dugout, probably right now as we speak. We got a lot to talk to. I implore you to call. This is your chance to rant and rave and do whatever you need to do when it comes to the Red Sox because it has been a momentous week. Yesterday was a momentous day. It has been a momentous week when it came to, once again, I'll say it, they fulfilled their promise. I don't know if that'll lead them to making the playoffs. I don't know. But we can't be hypocrites about this. They fulfilled their promise. You got guys, you got foundational players, you got uncomfortable, you were decisive, you got extensions, you got all of this. This is where you landed. So it is, and you know what? I'll give them another round of credit. They seemingly have identified the right guys. They identify what Christian Campbell is. We hadn't seen Christian Campbell play. We had seen YouTube clips. Alex Cora had seen YouTube clips. We saw him play in spring training. He wasn't even that good. They've identified the right guys. You give them credit for that. They identify what it takes to get Crochet. They identified what it would take to sign Crochet. All of this, you got to give them credit. Mea culpas, mea culpas, mea culpas. But still, you know, we can still talk about the starting rotation, relieving, whatever you want. All right, 617-779-7937. Let's trend with Zach.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox extended their winning streak to 3 with a 13-9 win over the St. Louis Cardinals in yesterday's Fenway opener. They were propelled by back-to-back home runs from Trevor Story and Willy Abreu in the first inning. Alex Bregman went 2-for-4 in his Fenway debut, and here's what he had to say about the crowd after the game.
Obviously the energy was in the ballpark. It was a lot of fun to be out there playing, and especially after a long road trip, not being here for a while and then coming back and feeling that energy, it brought all of us into the game really nicely, and looking forward to continuing it.
Game two of that series goes down today with Richard Fitz taking the mound opposite Andre Pallante for St. Louis. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil getting you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show. That starts at 3:10. Then Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks will have the call of the game. First pitch set for 4:10. Celtics beat the Phoenix Suns 123-103, the final at the Garden last night. Jaylen Brown leading the way for the Celtics. He had 31 points. They'll host the Washington Wizards tomorrow night. Tip-off at the Garden set for 6. Bruins back in action tonight. They're looking to snap a 10-game losing streak. They host the Carolina Hurricanes. Lost tonight, and the Bees make history. They would tie the 1924-25 team for the longest losing streak in franchise history. Puck drop from the Garden at 7. In other NHL news, Washington Capitals winger Alex Ovechkin tied Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals record. He scored his 893rd and 894th career goals last night. Ovechkin will have a chance to break Gretzky's record tomorrow night against the Islanders. Finally, for just the second time ever, the Final Four consists of all number one seeds. Those games get underway tonight in the Alamo Dome. First, Florida takes on top overall seed Auburn at 6:09. Then Duke will face Houston at 8:49. Don't forget, you can hear Westwood One's coverage of those games after Red Sox coverage wraps up right here on WEEI. Winners, of course, will face off on Monday night for a national title. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More baseball isn't boring coming up after this.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Baseball Isn't Boring radio show. Yes, we're on almost every Saturday. I think every Saturday. Close enough. We're on a lot. And you want to go to app BB Isn't Boring every single... I do know. We do the podcast every single day. We've had a cavalcade of stars. Dead on Daniel Bard yesterday. I love talking to Daniel, one of the more thoughtful, insightful players in all of Major League Baseball. And he will be back this year. He's still playing. Adam Ottavino and joined with Julian McWilliams, the big three. I think we might be doing that every Thursday, actually, because I think it's a good combination. We just do, listen, we did get the greatest minds in baseball together for Baseball Isn't Boring. Speaking of the greatest minds, the Playtesi guys are here in studio at the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios at Fenway Park, where it's raining out, but we think they're going to play. We are very confident they're going to play this game. Pat, say hello.
Hello.
All right, Sammy, say hello.
Hello.
Gordo, say hello.
They're getting this game in, Rob. It's happening.
All right, no one is more optimistic. The most optimistic human being of all time, Gordo. They are fresh off an interview with Christian Campbell. Can I tell you guys a quick Christian Campbell anecdote?
Please.
Please do.
I love these.
I should have told you this probably before he interviewed. You did the interview with him. We found this out yesterday, and I asked him about it after the game. So, you know, Bregman gave him the suits, right? Bought him and Meyer and Anthony the suits. I guess when I was told, like, when he was getting his suit fitted, his first custom suit, Alex Cora walked by and said, make sure you wear that suit on for rookie of the year, when you win rookie of the year. Right?
Yeah.
And so he's like, and then like Ernest Christian Campbell said yesterday after the game, yes, I'm going to absolutely have to do that. I'm going to absolutely wear my Bregman suit if I win Rookie of the Year. Not saying, oh, no. I can't win Rookie of the Year. No. No, he's why not? I'm good enough. I am good enough to win Rookie of the Year. All right. So I do want to get to the calls because all these fine folks are hanging on here. We'll talk about the Christian Campbell interview a little bit later, all right?
All right.
Is that all right? You guys all right?
It's all right. We're just a little cold.
We're frozen. We're wet.
Yeah, all right. Well, give
but
you
it's baseball
some,
weather,
I,
Rob.
I give you some time to defrost. I think we said, like, we said, like, oh, my goodness, my phone's overheating from too much sunshine in Fort Myers. That's what we were complaining about a week ago.
This is why Florida is great.
Florida's great.
Look at this.
If this was in fairness, Gordo, if this was Florida, you'd be, look at this. The waters are, the flowers, the flowers are going to bloom because it's raining out.
He would say, Florida. We need this. He would be the, oh, we really needed this.
We really, he's the really needed this guy. I hate those guys. You know what? I said this. Oh, go ahead.
If it were raining in Florida, what temperature is it right now? Like 45 degrees?
You would still say, look at it.
It would be like 65 degrees.
Oh, man. Fine. I don't have to turn on the AC and the waters are getting flowered. It's much like I said at the beginning of the show, the two things that I hate here from the Red Sox world was sustainability and North Star. I hate those two things. But as I said, mea culpa, we have to give them their flowers. No, you know, no pun intended. We have to give them his flowers. Because they said this is what we promised. It might have been late. The promise might have been fulfilled a little bit later than we anticipated, that we wanted, that we expected. But still, the promise has been fulfilled. And it has nothing to do with being 4-4. This isn't about the here and the now. This is not about this week. Anyway, I've taken too long. If you want to join the conversation, I see everybody lined up. 617-779-7937. All right, lead it off. Jeff in Watertown. Hey, Jeff, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Bradford, how you doing?
I'm happy to be home. Happy to be home after like 2 months. Happy to be home. I thought yesterday was a great day all around.
Yes, it was glorious.
Yeah, yes.
And, you know, the thing is, to me, well, first of all, I agree with you that I am giving the Red Sox credit. They lived up to their word. They're doing what they said they were going to do. I still can't help blaming Chaim Bloom for setting us back like 2 years. I really think Chaim Bloom was just too slow. You know, he did some things well in terms of identifying, you know, prospects and, you know, but in terms of overall vision, I just never felt that he had a vision. And I feel like Craig Breslow came in with the same kind of mandate, you know, the same ideas. He was talking the same talking points, but I feel like he had a vision. He had a picture in his mind. And I feel like we're there now. And this whole opening week has not worried me in the least. Because for the most part, they weren't hitting, and you know, and Jaron Duran wasn't getting on base to lead off games in the beginning, and they looked to me like the way that the Red Sox look sometimes in August when, you know, they might be a couple of games out in first, or, you know, and they hit that little spell where they can't seem to drive in runs or whatever, and then, you know, and then they get out of it and they go back on a streak, and that's how I felt about this. This feels like a good, solid opening week of a good team that's getting their feet under them. And I'm, you know, I just feel so positive about this team, and I give them credit. I mean, I think the Red Sox really did. This is what their vision was, what they were talking about. And I think
Gordo's signaling all over the place. What do you want to talk?
Yeah, Jeff, I want to ask Jeff a question, because just going back to the Chaim Bloom thing, don't you think that Chaim Bloom's approach set Craig Breslow up to do what he's able to do right now? Like that, like the Chaim Bloom kind of died for Craig, or what, he died for Craig Breslow pretty much. Like,
okay, that was morbid.
He sacrificed multiple years and his job to allow the team to do what Craig Breslow is doing right now.
Gordo, like, you know what? I can't remember who tweeted this, but I saw someone say Chaim went shopping for the groceries and then Craig cooked.
That's a great way to put it. Chaim went shopping for the groceries. Craig did the cooking. Craig's going to get the credit for it, and deservedly so. He's done a great job. But I don't want the narrative to be that Craig is doing what Chaim didn't do. It might be more closer to Craig is doing what Chaim wasn't allowed to do or didn't have the pieces to do, and he had to build from the ground up and buy those groceries to then set the team up to be able to have hopefully the next some 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years that hopefully they'll have.
So, Jeff, let me just ask you this. You know, I said, and you had sort of cited the here and the now and this week, and that's fine. I mean, 4-4, and we can go through the Rafael Devers stuff, and then that was history, so we obviously can't ignore any of it. But, you know, my opening thing, Jeff, was this is sort of, you know, where everybody had hoped they would land as part of the big boys club. And one thing I would ask, and I'm going to legitimately ask you, is – yeah, you know, Chaim has a huge, huge mark on this team. But would he have been able to do the trade, the Crochet trade? Would he have been able to do the Bregman signing? That's one of the things that you have to ask yourself, because I think one of the things that, you know, the narrative against Chaim was he wasn't able to get it past the finish line in those sort of deals. I'm going to ask you, Jeff, what do you think?
Jeff dropped.
Oh, okay. Jeff. Thank you, Zach. Jeff dropped. Well, what do you guys think?
Even as someone who's kind of defending Chaim Bloom here, I think it's a fair criticism and a fair question, especially as it pertains to the trade. I mean, we've seen Chaim Bloom pay a couple of guys. Like, he paid Trevor Story. He paid Masataka Yoshida. But, I mean, with trades, we saw it time and time again where you would hear about things that maybe could go down, and then at the finish line it didn't, and he just wasn't able to close a deal. With the Crochet type deal, especially, you know, getting uncomfortable trading two legitimate top 50 prospects, yeah, I think it's fair to question.
How about you, Pat? No, you're silent. You're like, come on. I'm sick of Gordo's morbid analogies here. People dying. What's going on?
No, I think
Dr. Pat, what do you got?
Died with valor.
I think that Craig has a certain kind of conviction that a lot of guys don't have, right? I think he didn't just give up a couple of pennies for Crochet. He traded Teal, he traded Montgomery, he traded Pearl. Like, he traded a lot of key pieces there, and it takes a lot to do that. It takes some conviction.
I asked him in the podcast that we did in spring training, which was more difficult? Is it to make that trade or to, like, take the big gulp and sign a deal like Bregman or sign a big money item? And he said, absolutely the trade. And that makes all the sense in the world. Because one of the things that people don't understand, I think this is the hardest thing for these guys to do, is make that sort of trades, because you draft these guys, you see the best in them. And then also, you also see, how this is potentially going to help our payroll going forward, like we're seeing with Christian Campbell right now. I'm sure they have plenty of offers for Christian Campbell, for Marcelo Meyer, for Roman Anthony. But to do that, that's why these trades aren't made a lot of times. And that's why, even with the Baltimore Orioles, with Mike Elias, like, yeah, sure, you give them the tip of the chapeau for the Corbin Burns trade, but I don't have any proof of this, but it almost feels like they didn't win. He did what everyone wanted him to do, and now he's not going to do it again because they didn't win. Well, you know what? You know what's keeping you from winning again? Not doing another Corbin Burns trade.
Right. I can't think of a team that doesn't take risks and also wins. All the good teams, I mean, look at the World Series last year. Dodgers, Yankees, two gigantic payrolls. Yankees, say what you want about them. They'll take risks. They'll sign big contracts. They'll make big trades. They're kind of out of ammo now, but they've done it in the past. And then the Dodgers, we don't even need to talk about the Dodgers. We all know who they are. So, yeah, I don't know. I think back to in the middle of the winter when Breslow called into the show. We're all doing radio. One of the things we asked him was getting uncomfortable more difficult than you anticipated it would be? And at the time, there was no Bregman move. I can't recall if Crochet was in the mix yet.
Yeah, they had Crochet.
So they got Crochet. But we were still kind of like, okay, he made one big move. He still hasn't really spent the money. They're missing a bat.
And you didn't know about an extension?
No, nothing about the extensions.
Yeah.
And at that time, we were all kind of like, look, Craig Breslow's a smart guy, but being a major league GM, or POBA, whatever his title is, we'll call it a GM, being a major league GM, it takes more than being just smart and knowing baseball. And now, just to think how we all felt about Breslow a few months ago compared to how we feel about him now as GM, for me, it's night and day.
All right, let's go to Steve in Fall River. Hey, Steve, how are you? Steve there?
How are you?
Hey,
now,
Steve.
Yes, I am, Rob. You know that I wasn't impatient with the Red Sox. You were. You were dying for them to have a bad contract. You were dying for them to trade Christian Campbell or somebody else.
No. Steve, like, listen, I'll let you rant and rave, and it's your prerogative to be wrong a million different ways, but I'm not going to, like, have you begin this call by saying things that, like, never entered my head. Tell me what? What was I doing?
He did not make these deadline deals for these failing teams the last couple of years. Everyone was dying for him. You already said it about Christian Campbell. He wasn't anybody's radar. He could have been gone in some deal. He could have been the Jeff Bagwell of 2022 or 23. He kept all these guys here. And you guys rightfully said now Breslow can go out and execute because they're loaded up. I told you they wanted to be Baltimore. You wanted them to have bad mega contracts to to make you feel good. Not just
oh, I did?
You.
Okay, tell me the bad mega contract I wanted.
No.
Hold on, Steve. Tell me. You keep saying, Steve, all the things that I was thinking and I was saying. I want you to definitively tell me what bad mega contract I wanted. And also, by the way, they did trade one of them. And Kyle Teal, who if you ask anybody, they would a lot of guys, scouts, would have put Kyle Teal at the very top of the list of prospects that we were talking about. So please tell me.
Who drafted Kyle Teal?
It's not the question.
Who drafted Kyle Teal?
I'm asking the question me what I was thinking and what I said and what bad contracts I wanted to go get.
I'm not going to say you specifically, but...
You just said me specifically. So what? No, why? Who? Not me? Was it me or me? Me or not me? Was it me or not me, Steve? Yes or no? Me or not me?
On the radio.
Me or not me?
Complaining and ginning up. If you were on the radio ginning up the callers to call in and complain that the
I would love to have examples of this one time of how I was ginning up these guys. Please, Steve, if I'm going to let you continue, I'll let you talk for 15 more minutes if you can give me one example of what I said. One example. I'll give you 15 more minutes, Steve. You can come into the Fenway Park studio and co-host the show.
May I ask what you're apologizing for?
What are you talking about? I didn't apologize for anything.
You didn't come on the radio and say, I'm giving them their props now, meaning you weren't giving them their props before?
No, I said it took them a long time.
You were trying to say they were running late.
By the way, thank you for bringing back the term ginning up. Thank goodness. I'm going to put it on the T-shirt. I want you. You didn't answer my question. You did not answer my question, Steve. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. Got 5 seconds. Tell me, give me one example of one time that I said this definitively, that I wanted to trade, what the player I wanted to trade for, the bad contract I wanted to sign, and the players I wanted to get to use Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Kyle Teal, or Christian Campbell for. I'm all for it, Steve. Here you go. The floor is yours. All right, see ya.
You want me?
See ya. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
Don't think Steve has a future as a lawyer.
No. If the law school uses the term ginning up.
I've never heard that term before.
I don't know.
That was a lot of red herrings.
Rob, a lot of red herrings. You cooked. You cooked.
Well, I mean, it's see, listen.
Steve, no, he's putting
Steve,
words in your mouth.
Steve, that's the problem. I'm all for Steve has some good takes. Steve has some stupid takes. It's his prerogative to be wrong or right or whatever it is. But the fact is that when we say this, when the lazy narrative is where you say, hey, you were saying that you should get all these bad cards. You were saying that you should trade to the Larry Anderson for Jeff Bagwell trade all over again. That was really like an old reference. But you were saying go trade for whoever at the deadline. What I did say, and I think you all said, was that, hey, the window was open last trade deadline. We can all agree for that, right?
Yes, sure.
We don't know what was available. We don't know what was happening, and we have evidence of this in the past with previous regimes where they were asking, the Red Sox were asking for more and more and more, and they weren't getting the job done. Well, other teams weren't getting the job done. The Dodgers got the job done. Whatever way they did it, they got the job done. They won a World Series. Other teams have been able to do that. You have to find a way to do it. And they found a way to do it with Garrett Crochet, a guy that we all put at the top of the list of pitchers you want by trading one of these players that Steve referenced. Yes, I was ginning up getting Garrett Crochet. Yeah, I was doing that. And sometimes, as I said a million times, you have to get uncomfortable. And I think they did get uncomfortable in trading one of these guys that Steve wanted to hang on for the next 30 years. Sometimes you got to trade some of them. And they're going to be good. But it's the cost of doing business.
And it's also, like Sammy was talking about, it's about taking risks. It's also about when you take the risk. Like, it's not always about how successful is a trade. It's all about, like, we've seen trades work out for teams. The guy they give wasn't that good. The guy they got was great, but they made it at the wrong time and it didn't matter, right? Now they're in a point in time where they've got talent on the roster. They've got more talent coming. So this was the time.
Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with a good baseball trade, right? Like, Kyle Teal and Brayden Montgomery could be all-star players. This is the cost of doing business. It just is. So when you say, well, we wanted bad contracts back, that's what I just wanted to know. Like, what was he talking about?
It's a mischaracterization of what he's trying to say, or what we were saying. Nobody wanted a bad contract. We wanted the Red Sox to acquire players who cost, a lot in terms of money or prospects, because that's normally the good players. Look at the Dodgers, like I said. Look at the Yankees. That's what they do. Nobody wanted a bad contract.
You wanted
crazy.
Them to show that they cared.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is like trade-wise, no one at last year's deadline was clamoring or what is the term?
Ginning up?
Ginning up. What do you say? Jimming?
I didn't say.
Man, your traps have never looked better.
Thank you. Ginning up interest, like trade Marcelo and Roman for a half season of Jack Flaherty. Like, that was never a thing. It was go get Crochet, who has 2 years and openly wants an extension.
Right.
Like, on a lower level, and this is one thing. If Steve wanted to say this, I did say a bunch of times. You look at the Dombrowski. What Dombrowski was really good at of getting useful players at the trade deadline and giving up the right players, right? Yep. The Brad Ziegler's of the world, the Addison Reed's, the Steve Pierce, so those guys. Yes, Santiago Espinal made the All-Star team, but the Red Sox won a World Series. So it's just identifying those sort of guys, the right guys, and getting uncomfortable and making the deal. The problem was, when it came to the Red Sox in years past, in recent years, it was they weren't even willing to do that. And you had to win the trade by 70%. And you know what? They did with Christian Vasquez. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You did. But you also had to deal with J.D. Martinez, or you didn't do at that time because you kept asking for more. Like, it's okay. But, that's not – it's just whatever, man. Like, all I'm saying is that where we've landed now – I'll say the same thing I said at the beginning of the show, guys. This is what they promised. Mea culpa. There you go. All right. I'm yelling a lot. Everybody has to yell for the last 15 minutes.
I had to turn my volume down in my headset.
Yeah, I'm good. Sorry. I'm sorry. That's my yelling voice.
Rob, when you yell like that at someone, you kind of like do like a boxer footwork thing.
Oh yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, it's like you're in the zone.
The balls of his feet were bouncing a little bit.
Yeah,
he was ready.
He was athletic. Yeah,
yeah.
From the diaphragm.
Very athletic.
He was ready to fight Joe Braverman.
Joe kept like trying to tackle me, stop me from yelling. It was amazing. But that's what a good producer does. All right. Anyway, we got another segment to go all the way up into the pregame show. I don't think I could carry it over to the pregame show if you want. You want? I got my blood's boiling now. Let's go.
This game's starting at 4.
I want a rain delay so I can keep going.
There's a lot of people here. I feel like they would have.
I apologize to the youth out here for me yelling so much. Adults shouldn't act that way. All right, 617-779-7937. We're going to go all the way to the pregame show. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford with the guys from Playtesi, Pat, Gordo, Sammy. Be back after this.
Now, more of Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Baseball Isn't Boring. You can catch Baseball Isn't Boring every single day. Every single day, we do a new podcast. I'm going to, spoiler alert, Monday's morning podcast, I sit down with Peter Gammons.
Oh.
Yeah, I love sitting down with Peter Gammons. His 80th birthday is coming up on Wednesday.
Wow.
I mean, I could talk to that guy forever.
He's a legend.
I may or may not have talked to him forever. I don't know if you guys know this, Playtesi guys, Pat, Gordo, Sammy. You can do a podcast as long as you want.
Yeah, no limits.
No limits.
That's the beauty of it.
Sometimes it's the beauty of it. All right, speaking of podcasts, you guys sat down with Christian Campbell. I had gave my Christian Campbell anecdote yesterday, or about yesterday. Tell me what your give me some takeaways, or get a takeaway from Christian.
He's just a really, really mean guy, just angry all the time.
That's like my lot in life. What am I doing? He's $60 million.
He's so nice.
He's already regretting it.
You know what he told us? He told us he watched some of our Playtesi clips.
All right.
And liked them.
It's not about you.
All right. Okay. Yeah. One cool thing he said was when he was facing Eovaldi in that first at bat, he said he couldn't feel his feet.
Not really? So
that's good. Very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's and today, in case you missed it, this is probably the crux of the Alex Cora pregame press conference. As you guys were talking to Christian Campbell, Cora was saying how he switched it so Christian Campbell's playing center field today and not left, And it was funny because Cora was just like, I was sitting there last night and we're just like, what were we doing in spring training? Like, what were we doing? Well, we were having this guy play left. He'd only played center. Like, what were we doing? What were we trying to do? I'm like, so he called Christian Campbell. What position do you feel more comfortable in? Obviously, center field. And next thing you know, he's playing center. So he'll always play center field when he's play outfield, and Jarren Duran will always play left. So speaking of mea culpas, Alex Cora, mea culpa this morning, which is good for him. Good for him.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
Well, thank you. All right, Zach, behind the glass, we got a call there?
We do, yes.
All right, let's go to him. What's going on? Is this KD?
Yep, that's it.
All right, KD in the car. Hey, KD, what's going on? I apologize from the bottom of my heart. Hold on, KD. I apologize from the bottom of my heart that I had to blow the woofers and tweeters in your phone and your speakers yelling at the previous caller. But, you know, that's what it is. It's all about. I appreciate you calling. What's up, KD?
Well, it's nothing I didn't hear at Alumni Hall at Springfield at the birthplace of the Bradford.
Oh, there you go. The birthplace of basketball, Harvard of Alden Street, Springfield College.
What's happening, my man? What's going on? Hey, you know, I was harassing the other radio station about moves that the Red Sox could move, and I didn't get anywhere. I'd like to get your take on Sandy Alcantara. A, are you interested? B, what do you think it would take to get him? And then C, is it a good idea to buy maybe potentially low, or maybe that's too late?
All right, Katie, before I let Gordo go, because he just gave the heart signal, you know, which is a little creepy. But I will say this. That is the one thing that we have to see how it plays out with this team, right, is the starting pitching. I'm not going to overreact to it, but this is – if you had to take a guess right now about what they would go at the deadline for, maybe not starting – maybe – starting pitcher, maybe a top of the rotation guy. We don't know. Richard Fitz could deal today. I don't know. And we could not talk about Sandy Alcantara at all. But we are going to, because Gordo loves him. What do you got, Gordo?
I do love Sandy Alcantara. In terms of cost, though, I mean, this is the Marlins, they've been hell-bent not dealing him before he reestablishes his value. Looks like he's poised to do that. Had a great spring. He's looked good. By the deadline, you'd think that he should be at full value. I think they're going to keep his innings under control so that they don't run into the Garrett Crochet issue that the White Sox ran into last year. To me, to get him with his contract with his
All right, contract, so let's play the game. Katie, are you still there? Oh, Katie's gone. All right. Listen, let's play the game. Let's play the Steve from Fall River game. Would you trade Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony for Sandy Alcantara?
Well, I think that's what it would take. And I don't think the Red Sox should do it.
Okay.
Or both?
One.
No, put one of them in the trade. It's going to take more, but one of them in the trade.
Not saying he's not worth that.
Joe Braverman's here. He said he would trade both those guys plus Cespedes.
Liar.
he can't believe it.
He actually said they just extended Campbell to trade him for Sandy.
All right. Sammy, I'm going to ask you this question. This toughest question you'll ever face, at least in the next 5 minutes. If you had to trade one of those two guys, which guy would you trade?
Oh, that's a mean question.
If I had to trade Roman or Marcelo?
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to answer. Okay, if I had to.
Wait, you're in the big boy seat now. You're like, let's go.
Marcelo. I mean, Roman's the number one prospect in baseball. It's nothing against Marcelo.
I like them both personally. They're both very nice people.
Really good ball players.
All right, who would you trade? Which one?
Marcelo, eh?
All right, hold on. I'm texting Marcelo.
Yeah. He's going to be all mad. He'll be like,
Sammy really hates you.
Go again. I wasn't
going to. He heard you believe in ghosts. Okay.
How could you say that about me?
Okay. Oh, is that your Marcelo imitation?
I don't know. I was trying to sound like a dude.
All right. Okay. Pat, well, how about you? You aren't not off the hook.
I would lean Marcelo. Because they have the outfield is so good as is. Campbell can play the outfield. Roman's coming up. Marcelo's more of a logjam spot. The infield defense is pretty set right now.
So are you saying Marcelo's a bust?
No.
Oh, my. Breaking news.
Pat, how
Marcelo, could
you? Marcelo, Pat, I just want to follow up. Pat says you are a bust.
He's going to light that flannel up on fire.
Yeah, all right. All right, Gordo, how about you?
I mean, Roman Anthony's a can't-miss pro. Like, it has to be Marcelo. But I'm not trading either of them.
I agree.
That's not. If you had.
I'm not trading the top prospect. Who is the guy?
If you have, say, a team puts one of the best players in baseball on the market with more than 2 years of control. Give me a name. Give me a name of a bad team that's going to sell off somebody.
I don't know. The best player I think of is just Gunnar Henderson. So just if Gunnar Henderson's on the table, who am I trading?
Who are you trading?
I mean, I'm not trading the number one offensive prospect.
All right. Here's another question for you. All right. Another good question for you. 617-779. Actually, don't we got our guy, a very special guest calling in very soon.
This is very exciting.
And we're going to be going all the way up into the pregame show. It's everything's going to be a little tight. But I want to ask you this: yay or nay, Chris? Who has the better career, Christian Campbell or Jackson Holiday?
We literally just talked about this on the podcast.
Did we mention this to you, Rob?
No,
it's just a coincidence.
I think I said it in the car the other day. Go ahead, real quick. Yeah, go right on the horn, Pat.
You know, number one prospect in baseball last year. He's on fire right now. He plays a premium position. I'll stick with him, but I think it's going to be close.
All right, Gordo.
No doubt in my mind, it's Christian Campbell because he calls his teammates his friends.
Oh,
did you ask him about that?
Yes.
What did he say?
You'll have to listen to find out.
No, I want to know what he said.
He said, they pick you up when you're down. You get to know these guys. You can't call them teammates. They're your friends.
He looked me dead in the eye, and he said, how could I? Right. They are my best friends.
All right, real quick. Hey, listen, our whole existence is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 48 years and the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. We had a very special guest on the line. Now, I want to let everybody know that on the Baseballs and Boring podcast, every single day, we have the home run call of the day. And all these announcers from across the nation are very honored that we begin each podcast with the home run call of the day. Well, on this show, right now, we're doing the home run call of the week, maybe the home run call of the year. And that is from our good friend, Hogdale. Hogdale, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, man, what's up? Good to talk to you. How's everyone doing?
What's up, Hogdale?
Hogdale.
What's up, my guy? How you doing?
That's a great podcast with that hand. And we want to play everybody your call, Hogdale. We're the home run call of the week, which is maybe a built-in feature, which you may win every single week as far as we know. I don't know. But this is the call. I don't know which one it is because they're all great. All right, here's Tristan Casas. Home run call, Tristan Casas bomb.
So 0-1 pitch from Aiken. Pitch swung on. Barreled left field, high and deep. The left fielder's looking for it. This is going to get out! Tristan Casas, his first home run of the season. Another two-run shot for the Sox today. 7-3 ball game. The Sox extend the lead. Let's go! Let's go! From Barney the Purple Dinosaur to Grimace, we love to see it.
It sounds better with the bleeps, I got to tell you.
Oh, my
even
God.
Better.
So the other one that, you know, the first one, Hogdale, first of all, congratulations. What an honor this is for all of us, for you to call in, but also home run call of the week. But, Hogdale, one of the things that I love that first call, I think it was Willie Abreu, was when you said, like, we're all deadlocked at two. What did you say? The Red Sox ahead or something like that? I'm like, you spoke for everybody because the feeling was, yes, the game may have been tied, but the feeling of the great game of baseball at that moment was the Red Sox fans were the big winners. There is no better instincts of any announcer I've ever heard than you, Hogdale. Congratulations, my friend.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate the compliments. I've been having a pretty good week, honestly. Good time in all regards. A lot of my calls have been blowing up. I did this all last year. And the basis of what I built last year is it's paying off for me. So I'm very, very happy.
You know what's great about the calls is how quickly they ramp up. How you're like quiet, 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 and then bang, it just goes crazy off the rails in a good way. I love the cadence of it all.
The best is there's no...
Well, I think a lot of it is just natural just because of, like, listen, I learned from last year, I have to wait half of a second because I'm not in the ballpark. I don't have a perfect example of where exactly the ball is heading until the camera shows me. And, you know, I've gotten duped by the camera a couple times, made to be look like a bit of a goon. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, stay calm, and explosion. Here we go.
I love Hogdale has A, said I'm having a pretty good week, and the B, this, hey, like the intricacies of the home run call, that this isn't just happen, right? It's emotion, sure, but there's a lot that goes to it. You workshopped this for a year to get to this point where you are at the top of the mountain when it comes to home run call. So Hogdale, we gotta get going, but man, I just appreciate you. I appreciate all that you do, and I appreciate the like you said, the aforementioned week that you had. Excellent job, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Y'all have a fantastic day. Appreciate every single one of y'all.
All right. Rock Hogdale.
All right.
Hogdale.
Well, I appreciate every single one of you. Joe Braverman sitting there patiently next to the mic. All right. Gordo, Sammy, Pat, Joe Wiles here. He's coming up next. I did see the tarp on the field. I had promised they're going to play the game. I feel a little Joe Wiles was there when Alex Cora said they're going to play the game. I mean, I have proof, but I don't know. Do we have a delay yet? No, we have the fart tarps on the field.
4 o'clock.
Hey, but this is why you should tune into the pregame show. I appreciate everybody. Zach Coe behind the glass. We'll be back next week. This has been the Baseballs and Boring Show.